After escaping from Egypt and making a new covenant with his people, God led the Israelites swiftly to the land he promised them, but the scouts gave a mixed report. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them." God listened to the Israelites' complaints, their disobedience, and their refusal to accept his gift, and he gave them some more time to think about it. God said, "As surely as I live, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them into enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness." 40 hard years passed before, at last, the children of the Israelites, humbled and obedient, finally entered the promised land. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So now that we and the Israelites know the rules, we got those last week, or the boundaries of the relationship, it is and it was time to keep moving to the land which God had promised. Beyond the place that God was leading them, and amongst their time together while getting there, was and is this relationship with God that God desires to have with each of us, with each of them. Relationships, they can be strengthened in all sorts of places. Learning to depend on each other, to work with each other, to navigate life together, often gives us opportunities for give and take. Being vulnerable and honest. Recognizing and owning and repenting when we've made a mistake. This chapter, Wandering, feels much like what life was like before the in-car or phone-based navigation systems were in place. Instead of a map, or talking street signs, or satellite-based commands being shouted at them, there were 3 million people that kept asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" They never ask once, do they? No. And it sounds like Moses might have handled it as well as you or I do. "No, and if you keep asking, we might never get there." Yeah. We've all had experiences with wanting to be somewhere and it taking longer than we thought it should take to get there. Even though we often say on a road trip that memories are made in the journey and that getting there is not the only thing that we're doing, any trip can still feel long especially if we make mistakes in the directions. God was trying to offer direction, like that navigator voice in the GPS, to help the Israelites travel. Moses was God's mouthpiece to get the people to the promised land. But all of his effort was met with people that either didn't remember where they were going, why they were going, or had been born after the adventure began. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars, that they would live in the fertile land, and that through them God would bless all nations. Over hundreds of years, Abraham's family grew and grew in Egypt, fulfilling the first part of God's promise. This extended family, known as the Israelites, were freed by God from slavery and led out of Egypt. And God renewed God's promise to them and gave them the Ten Commandments and other rules for godly living at Mount Sinai. But now it's time for the second part of the promise to be fulfilled, the promise of the fertile land to live in. As the Israelites travel through the desert wilderness of Sinai, God and Moses led them toward the promised land of milk and honey. But in the meantime, all we hear is whining. They just keep whining. Complaints about the hardship of the trip. Then they complain about the food. It's the same every day. Then Moses' own family, Miriam and Aaron, start complaining about Moses' leadership and how he shouldn't get to lead because he's not the oldest. Then they throw in a complaint about his wife. Really? And yet as they reach the area to which they are to stay, they send in these 12 spies to check it out. And the 12 spies come back and make their report. They say, "Oh, this indeed is a beautiful and fertile country, but the people who live there are big and mean and powerful." Young Joshua and Caleb say, "We can take them. God is on our side." But the other 10 spies report, no way. We are as pruny as grasshoppers next to these dudes. We should go back to Egypt. You brought us here in this desert to die." More whining. But due to the group's lack of trust in God and accepting their provided provisions, God, tired of their complaining, the people are left to wander in the desert for 40 years. This punishes not only just those who are alive and involved for their disobedience and their lack of faith, but for their children who are now to be born in the desert in their time of wandering, growing up only to know the trials of this life and the challenges of living without. Until that day when those children will inherit the land and the promise of God. Reading this, I hear the troubling reminder that our actions have consequences or effects on not only ourselves, but on others as well. When we make mistakes or wrong turns, it is all involved, or if you'd like to think of it this way, all in the car that suffer from our wrong turn. Everyone is affected. Wrong turns, bad choices, mean actions not only affect us, but all who love us and are in relationship with us. God loved the Israelites. God was affected by their choices. God's desire to be in relationship with us, God's created people, means that God keeps coming back. We have the power of free will. We can choose not only if we want to be in relationship, but how we will live in that relationship. Moses chose to stay connected to God, as difficult as that continued to be. He encountered obstacles, unfinished business, debts to pay, time to serve, and yet he stayed connected. After all the years of slavery in Egypt, after challenging the Pharaoh and escaping, after herding unruly people through a desert and an extra long 40-year-long road trip, Moses brings them to the brink of the promised land. And before he dies, makes one last speech to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 32:33. Moses says, "Take to heart all I have said, and teach your children. For these are no empty words, but the words of life. By this word you will live long in the land God has promised you. Choose life." We can listen to Moses' words. And we can choose life. We can choose to be active and loving participants in our relationships. We will make mistakes. We will make missteps. We will cause injury or bruising to others. But we can, even when roadblocks attempt to keep us from what we want, we can choose to go deeper into the relationship, to say I'm sorry, to grow closer together. To stay in relationship. Jesus offers us a path to choosing life. Jesus walked a lonesome valley. Jesus wandered and wondered. And Jesus stayed in relationship with God. May we do the same this day and always. Amen.